Well, my name is Brother Tommy Brooks. I'm the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call hosted by the Holland Heights Church of Christ located at 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. I am very thankful to have my co-host, Brother Anthony Flunder, and all the team that are working with us to make national outreach with the simple preaching of the gospel. And we to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are our VIP. You're very important to us because we believe that the Bible is right. And we believe there are people like us who believe that the Bible has the final answer as to what I must do to save my soul. And we thank you. We love you. We thank you for calling in to hear this message. It is our prayer that you will receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Thanks to our brothers and sisters in Christ all across this nation who are encouraging their friends and family to hear this simple truth tonight. Let us pray to God before we go into the study. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We will not forget that love. And it was your Son who said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. We will not be negligent, Father, and not remind the world of the gospel truth is that Jesus, your Son, suffered through execution on a cross to save us. And it's our prayer that all of us can recognize that what he said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And we lift him up on the cross tonight, and we see the blood that he shed it and the suffering he went through to save us. Father, please help our friends, our family, those we love, and those we've invited to remember what you gave was your only Son, and what he gave was his life. And it's through his blood on that cross that will wash our sins away in baptism and purchase his wife who wears his name, the Church of Christ. Thank you for our visitors. Help them to receive with meekness our love and our care for their souls. And Father, please help us to stay focused, to know that it was because you loved us that we must obey your command. We love you, Father, and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am very excited tonight to introduce our speaker. I've grown to know Brother Russell McCullough, and after I've talked to him, we talked late nights, him and I. And I can just tell by his conversation that he loves your soul like I do. Brother Russ is a gospel preacher for the Archdale Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina. He has served as an elder there since 1990 and has served as a gospel preacher for the last 11 years as well. He and his wife, Nancy, have lived in Charlotte since 1991. He also lived in Oklahoma City, Memphis, Durham, North Carolina, before moving to Charlotte. They've grown four grown children, two granddaughters. He is the author of 2013 book, Emerging Towards Apostasy. Excuse me. He is honored to be a part of our effort, and more so, we're honored that he has accepted our invitation. It is my encouragement to you to take your Bible, open it up, and open more importantly your ears to what Brother Russ McCullough has to teach us from the Word of God. Brother McCullough, the call is yours at this time.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Bless you all. I would like to thank the brethren at the Manhattan Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, for presenting this nationwide gospel meeting call, 20 speakers in 20 days during the month of May. It is truly an extraordinary event, and I am so very honored to be part of it. Thank you, brothers, and thank you for the effort and the opportunity for those who need to hear the gospel to hear it through this wonderful conference call message format. I would like to begin, first of all, to speak to you, the audience, about two things. First of all, I would like to remind you of what Jesus said at the very end of the New Testament, in the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, where we are told to neither add to nor take away from the Word of God. It's a very serious thing to contemplate what the Bible says. And so tonight, I do not want you to listen to my opinions. I don't want you to listen to my convictions. I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. And I encourage you to take out your Bibles and check me out everything I say to make sure that it is indeed the Word of God. If it is not, I ask you to reject it and to tell me, because I do not want to say anything that is false. I do not want to misrepresent God or misrepresent His Word. And so I would like you to listen to our standard for our talk tonight, our discussion tonight. And that is, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 10, we want to set the standard for our subject tonight. The subject I have been given by the brethren at the Manhattan Heights Church of Christ is this: the truth about the sinner's prayer. The truth about the sinner's prayer. And so as we discuss this subject, we want to not go to our minds, not go to our wills, not go to our feelings, not go to our emotions, not go to our opinions or even our convictions. We want to go straight to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about this topic. So beginning with verse 10 of Acts chapter 17, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and the word they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And that is my challenge and yours tonight, to make sure that the things that I say are consistent with the Word of God, that I neither add to nor take away from what is written here, that we will ask Bible questions and seek Bible answers and let the Bible speak for itself, because we are mere mortals, and we have no part or parcel in God's Word other than to preach it and teach it as it is written, not as how we want it to be written. And so tonight we want to talk about this subject of the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is something that is heard in almost every denomination in the United States and in the world today. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, where did the sinner's prayer come from? What does it mean? Is it applicable? Is it biblical? Do we want to follow it? Do we want to believe in it? Do we want to stake our very soul salvation upon it? That is our question. Many have come to embrace the sinner's prayer because the Bible often speaks of calling upon the name of the Lord. And if we look at that phrase, we might just very well imagine that calling upon the name of the Lord involves prayer. But we want to ask the Bible, does calling on the name of the Lord involve prayer? And are we saved by praying? Yes or no, we're going to ask the Bible. But before we ask and answer that question, we have to look at what the Bible says about this subject of the sinner's prayer. More specifically, what does the Bible say in its context regarding this phrase, calling upon the name of the Lord? So we want to use three texts tonight primarily for our study. And I would encourage you to have your Bibles ready and follow along as we ask and answer this question during these few minutes. And so the Bible talks about calling upon the name of the Lord primarily in Joel chapter 2. Joel was a prophet to the nation of Israel in the middle of the 8th century B.C., and he prophesied that that nation would be destroyed and because of their sins and their transgressions, but God would save a remnant of them to be able to preserve his people. And so Joel prophesied this in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 beginning, and I want to share this with you. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 and then to Acts chapter 22 to see just what is it when the Bible says calling upon the name of the Lord, what is that? What is that? So Joel chapter 2 verse 28 beginning, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. What are those days? We're going to answer that question when we get to Acts chapter 2. Verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. I want to stop here right now. We want to talk about this great and awesome day of the Lord. What is the awesome day of the Lord? Well, the Bible often uses symbolic language to describe the day of judgment, a day of judgment. And we often think about the end of time when the Lord will return and judge the quick and the dead. And yes, that is the day of judgment. But God has judged people often. And my friends, we'll see here in a minute that the day of Pentecost was indeed a day of judgment. How can we say that that was a day of judgment? We'll find out when we get to Acts 2. But the four symbolic illustrations of the day of judgment, which became the day of Pentecost, four illustrations, wonders in heavens and in earth. That's one illustration of God's judgment. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke, another illustration of God's judgment. The sun be turned into darkness, another third illustration of God's judgment. And the moon into blood, a fourth illustration. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass, now listen to this carefully, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Now that is the prophecy of Joel. When is it fulfilled? When does it come true? Well, quite frankly, it's coming true in Acts chapter 2. If you'll turn now with me to Acts chapter 2, we're going to see precisely. On the day of Pentecost, tongues as if a fire had fallen upon the apostles, and they began to speak in tongues, different languages, and no fewer than 9 language groups gathered there that day heard the first gospel sermon in their own language, and they were astounded, and they rushed to the place where the apostles were speaking. And so I want to begin with Acts chapter 2 and verse 14 as we delve into this. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these, the apostles, are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Now listen to verse 16. This is very, very important. Listen to verse 16. This is not Russ McCullough saying this. This is what the Bible says. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then Peter, speaking for the 11 and speaking with the 11, quotes Joel chapter 2, and from verses 17 to 21, he quotes the passage that was just read. Now, one of the things that we have to understand very quickly here is verse 21, Acts 2:21, very significant in our conversation tonight. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord," what? "Shall be saved." Two things we want to understand about Acts chapter 2. Peter says, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel 2. And number two, just as Joel has prophesied on that date, on that great and terrible day of the Lord, or that great and magnificent day of the Lord, or that great and awesome day of the Lord, there are going to be those who are going to call upon the name of the Lord, and what? They are going to be saved. And you might ask the question, well, when did anybody call upon the name of the Lord on the day of Pentecost? Peter goes through his sermon and he delves into a number of things, and then he convicts them of murdering Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and they're pricked in their hearts, and they cry out, they call upon the name of the Lord. They said, "Men and brothers, what must we do to be saved?" They called upon the name of the Lord, but they didn't have the answer to what it is to call upon the name of the Lord. What did they need to do to save their souls on that day? What did they need to respond to in order to be saved on that day? They were calling out. They were crying out. They had just been convicted of murdering the Son of God. "Men and brothers, what must we do?" But what did Peter say? Did he say, "You're all dead men? You're all condemned, and God is now going to kill you all"? No. He gave them the words of mercy and grace. They received a message they did not expect, a message they did not deserve, but one that was gladly received, and that was in verse 38 of Acts 2. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" That is calling upon the name of the Lord. They were convicted of their sins. Joel had prophesied that they were going to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. They called upon the name of the Lord for salvation in their fear and terror. And then they were told what they must do in response to their call. And that was to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, specifically for the remission of sins. And when they did so, not only would their sins be remitted, Peter says that they would be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit of God in their hearts. And also, the Bible says that 3,000 that day obeyed that gospel. 3,000 repented and were baptized. 3,000 had their sins remitted. 3,000 were saved. 3,000 were added to the church that day. And so, we see from what Joel says and what Peter says that calling upon the name of the Lord is repentance and baptism. And you might say, well, that might just be conjecture, Brother Russ. How do you know that is true? Well, I can assure you I'm not conjecturing, nor are we speculating. We are looking for revelation and not speculation. We're going to see what the Bible says specifically about this message. And I want to turn, as we conclude, to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and we're going to find out precisely what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord. Is it a prayer or is it repentance and baptism? Can't be both. I want you to listen as the scripture unfolds. Acts 22, Paul here is defending himself. And he is a primary witness. He was there. These things happened to him. He is testifying to the facts of his own conversion. And so in Acts chapter 22, we want to began to look at what had happened. As you recall, that Paul, who had then been called Saul, his Jewish name, was on his way to Damascus to kidnap Christians and take them back to Jerusalem for punishment. He was the most adversary of the Church of Christ in those days. And he got with an entourage of soldiers and went to Damascus, and they were approaching the city. Damascus was a foreign city in the nation of Syria. And verse 6, I want us to begin as we conclude tonight. Now, as it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, he engages in a prayer, in a person to God prayer, a person to Jesus Christ prayer. He asked the question, what shall I do, Lord? Now, did Jesus tell him to say a prayer? Or did Jesus tell him to do something else? Well, let's let the text answer that question. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Did Jesus tell Saul what he needed to do to be saved when he, in prayer, asked him to do so? No. He says, you go to Damascus, and when you get there, you'll be told what you must do. And verse 11, and since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. There a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same time hour, I looked up at him. Now, we have to ask the question here, what's going on with Saul slash Paul. He's gone to Damascus. He spent 3 days there. What has he been doing there? We read in Acts chapter 9 that when he's there, for 3 days he fasts and prays. 3 days he fasts and prays. Now, he wasn't saved on the road because he asked Jesus what he had to do, and Jesus told him, go in the city and there will be told you to do. He goes to the city and he waits for 3 days for the answer. For 3 days he prays and fasts and nothing happens, but on the third day, a preacher comes that has been sent by God by the name of Ananias. And a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, he's speaking to him as a fellow Jew, receive your sight. And at the same hour, I looked up at him. He received his sight back. Was he saved? No. He's still waiting to hear what he must do. He'd asked Jesus, and Jesus says, go to Damascus. It's going to be told to you what you have to do. Ananias shows up and cures him of his blindness after 3 days of prayer and fasting, and he's still not saved. And we're going to find out for sure that's the case here in just a minute because of what the scripture says. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, verse 20, chapter 22, verse 16. If you remember nothing else from this lesson tonight, dear friends, remember verse 16 of Acts chapter 22, because it answers the question, is the sinner's prayer salvational or is it not? Is calling upon the name of the Lord the sinner's prayer, or is calling upon the name of the Lord something else? The Bible says it's something else. Verse 16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Now listen to this, and wash away your sins. Saul still had his sins after 3 days of praying. If those 3 days of those kind of prayers didn't save him, no prayer you and I could ever do or ever say would do anything for us. He still had his sins after 3 days. So Ananias says, you got to get up and you got to get baptized and wash away your sins. And what is this? When you arise and are baptized and wash away your sins, what is that? He says precisely what it is, calling on the name of the Lord. There we have it. Calling upon the name of the Lord is baptism. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Calling upon the name of the Lord, we'll repeat it again, is not a prayer. It is repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be added to the faithful in the church. That's what Saul did. That's how he got saved. That's how we get saved. We have 1 minute remaining. My dear friend, if you have put your soul's salvation, your eternal soul, in the hands of a prayer, please consider again. Your soul is too valuable to take a chance with. Calling upon the name of the Lord is, not according to my opinion, not according to my conviction, not according to my feelings, not according to my emotions, not as much as I would want it to be so if that were the case. Doesn't matter. What is the Bible answer to the Bible question? Is calling upon the name of the Lord salvational or is it something else? Calling upon the name of the Lord is repentance and it is baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. End of conversation. Please consider the gospel and render obedience to it today. I hand the podium back to our host.
Thank you, Brother Russ. We certainly appreciate that, calling on the name of the Lord. We have been dealing with the sinner's prayer this week and last 4 weeks because we know Franklin Graham is on national TV telling everyone all they have to do to be saved is accept Jesus as their personal Savior by praying a prayer saying, Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. Forgive me my sins. And he said, Franklin Graham says, the Lord will save you. But brothers, sisters, and friends, if we believe in the Bible, as Brother Russ has told us tonight, calling on the name of the Lord means you must be in obedience to his will. And we want you to know that we believe that there are people like me and you who want to know what does that really mean. It simply means hearing how Jesus suffered on the cross, how God loved you, gave his son, he went through an execution by crucifixion. And on that cross, God showed his love to the world, that his son would suffer and shed blood that washed your sins away in baptism. And as Saul said, as Ananias told Saul, he told him to stop praying. Arise, why tarryest you? Be baptized. Why? Jesus commanded in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel, meaning the story of his death, burial, and resurrection. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And so that's why Paul got baptized, because it's in baptism where you contact the blood that washes away your sins and then add you to the church of Christ, which is the only church in the Bible. We speak the truth in love. Brother Russ has done a great job tonight, as all of our speakers have over the past few weeks. And we thank you, Brother Russ, for bringing us to our attention that calling on the name of the Lord is more than just praying. It must be obedience. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we ask you to please, if you have questions, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will also we will contact you with the speaker if you have a question for him, or get back with the person who put you on the call. And you say tonight, Brother, I want to be baptized. I want to call on the name of the Lord tonight. You get in touch with the person who put you on this call. Or call us or email us, and we will get you to the Church of Christ closest to you that you may obey tonight by being baptized, added to the one church, the Church of Christ. Now, somebody said, well, I want to study more, and I really want a Bible class. Email us. We'll set the Bible class up for you. Also, you can go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And we will set up the Bible class for you, or we will make arrangements for you to be baptized and obey the gospel. And we thank you. We love you. At this time, we'll call on my co-host, Brother Anthony Flunder, who's of the Manhattan Heights Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks. I'm the host minister of this call. We are at the Church of Christ in Holland Heights, located at 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. Again, thank you, Brother Russ. And at this time, I turn it over to our co-host.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. On tomorrow evening, we have Brother Brandon Starling from Marshall, Texas, speaking from the topic, The Truth About True Worship. And on Friday, we'll have Brother Robert Harper Sr. from Houston, Texas, speaking from the subject, The Truth About the Few. At this time, I turn this back over to Brother Brooks.
Brother Powell, give us a closing prayer. Come.
Let us bow. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you with our ears have heard, with our hearts are made to believe. We thank you for your manservant, Brother McCullough, and his sharing and answering the question regarding the sinner's prayer. We ask you, Lord, that those that are seekers will seek out through our email address and contact us so we can assist them in becoming Christians. We're thankful for all that are on the call tonight, those that are members of the Lord's Church supporting the call. We ask that you give all of us a peaceful night's rest, and we thank you again for the gospel message tonight. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Shabry. Thank you, Brother Russ. And thank you, Brother Flood, for helping us facilitate this call. May God bless each of you calling in tonight. Call in tomorrow night that you too may hear more from the Word of God. God bless.